We live in a very special time and in a very special place. A mystical quality pervades the island. Indeed, there is a mystery here on Salt Spring. What is here that has remedied our ills? What is it that has changed psychiatric patients so wholly that they are beyond the mind of man and modern-day psychiatry? What is it that can change marriage from a nightmare of hopelessness to a honeymoon? What is it that makes sick bodies well again? I do not know, yet I have experienced all these in my own life. I have witnessed them in the lives of others. Some say the wisdom of one man, Sidney Banks, has transformed the island. If you were to ask this same man, his answer would be, "Look within, there lies the secret." Linda Gadu. Chapter 1, It's All Inside. Salt Spring is an island of magic. Each season brings with it dramatic change. Now, in springtime, I can almost feel the earth stirring, preparing herself for new growth, for a new cycle of life. My husband Bill and I drove down the familiar country road. The early evening air held just a hint of warmth, but seemed to promise more. I felt excited, strangely exhilarated, but perhaps it was only the coming of spring. It was an evening filled with magic and poetry, and we looked forward eagerly to the coming hours. Bill and I were on our way to Sid and Barb's, where we would share a journey together as we had countless times before. We were adventurers, and our journey led within, the place where the true secret of life lies. We had taken that first step and found before us a world fresh and new. We had begun hesitantly. Now we knew we had found the way. It did not matter that some did not accompany us, for there were many who did. A man lives in our midst, a man of extreme ordinariness. He had shown us the way. With mere words, words so familiar yet totally enigmatic, he had shown us a world beyond the veils of illusion. He had read few books, but spoke knowingly of the secrets of life. The words were always simple, the impact profound. Bill turned down the long winding driveway, and inside the house we found a room that seemed to glow. We often spoke of this room, of its special quality. Here it seemed our lives had really begun. With warmth and vibrant color, the living room beckons, yet the mood is soft, subtle. The decor is neither old-fashioned nor modern, but a blend of both. The effect is one of timelessness. Before the window, the sea, a constant ebb and flow, and always the fire welcomes. "Come in," the room says. "Find a comfortable spot, have a cup of tea, and be at home." That's exactly what we did. Almost immediately, the phone rang, and Sid was soon talking animately. "Find the secret of your inner states of consciousness, and this world you know will not be a belief, it will be a fact." Bill and I glanced at each other. I felt a little guilty about eavesdropping, but this conversation was fascinating. It is facts or knowing which unveil the simplicity of life. It is this knowing that rids you of the petty beliefs that create unhappiness and sickness of mind. Knowing brings love and understanding beyond your wildest imagination. Such a statement was very typical of Sid and always brought puzzled looks. The words would seem to make no sense whatever. Yet we knew that these same words had the power to bring to the listener the true knowledge of life. I had learned it was impossible to figure out the meaning of Sid's words. We must listen and accept with faith that understanding will come. And it came, not with intellectual activity, but in quiet, peaceful moments through the experience of hearing or seeing. I recalled the first time I had heard such words. I'd asked Sid what he meant by hearing and seeing. "It cannot be told," he said. "It is an experience of seeing the world with greater clarity. Not only your world, but also the world which lies within. You see, Linda, life is a perfect state of consciousness. That's all it really is." Well, this had certainly been news to me. I hadn't known what a state of consciousness was, and if I had one, I felt it was far from perfect. Yet something in his words had opened a door to a place inside, a place dimly remembered. Eventually, Sid came from the phone, a smile on his face. "He's just like you," he said. "He thinks too much." In the old days, I would have jumped up and militantly demanded, "What do you mean by that?" Now I knew what he meant. The benefits of having a guide, one who had gone before, time, experience had all shown me. The major obstacle to my happiness, peace of mind, the wisdom I sought, was and always had been my own mind. Sid went over to his favorite chair, Barb brought in tea and cookies, and we all talked. Our conversation, as usual, went here and there, from gardening to awareness, to Bill's new shirt, and always back to awareness. The only reminder of hours passing came from the clock which chimed the hour and the half. Soon we forgot all thought of everyday reality as Sid spoke to us of the life within, the only real life. Often the words went beyond our comprehension. As he talked, Sid's voice became softer and the words more powerful. He seemed to be speaking from far away, describing to us a world we had never visited. His eyes were alive, sparkling, and his face totally at peace. I have never seen such a look on any other human being. A moment came full of such intensity, it seemed we might almost grasp that world he spoke of. Then Sid smiled, a great, huge, grinning smile. His face, his whole being seems to smile, and though I've seen it 1,000 times, it's always a delight. Part of it is pure joy, the joy of simply being alive. Part of it seems to say this whole thing is just one big cosmic joke, too indescribably funny for words. Part of the smile is love, just love. Sid continued to speak, looking directly at me. I felt somehow that the words came not from him, from Sid, but from a place beyond. All life is energy manifest into form via thought. The source of this energy contains the knowledge all mankind seeks. Here lies the secret of the self. Here, my dear Linda, lies the secret of life. The words were compelling. Once again, they had assured me there was nothing I could do or need to, for the knowledge I sought already lay deep within. The clock chimed, telling us it was time to leave, and we said goodnight to Sid and Barb. How fortunate we were to have such friends. Bill and I drove along in silence, enjoying a quiet moment. Suddenly Bill spoke, his voice full of excitement. "It's amazing," he said. "It's just amazing." "What is?" I asked. "Sid, he's got it. He's really got the secret, and he found it in 1 second. Unbelievable." "I know what you mean," I said. "When I hear him speak, I just know he's got the truth. Yet when I think about it, my mind comes in and says, that's impossible. How can anyone find the answer in 1 second? You have to study for years, read 1,000 books no one can understand. You think it just can't be that easy." "But it really is that simple," said Bill. "The mind just won't accept the fact." We both laughed. It had been a perfect evening. Chapter 2, The Facts of Life. The next morning, Bill went off to work and I spent the day puttering around the house. It was like a gift to myself just to spend the day alone doing all the little things I like to do. I watered my plants, dusted, and started on the dishes. I had such a beautiful warm feeling inside. It felt good just to be me. I looked up through the window where the sun poured in through the trees to the meadow beyond. I'm so lucky, I thought. I have everything I've ever wanted. It's true, I realized. I do have everything. A wonderful husband, a fine son, and countless friends. Joy welled up from within. Tears came to my eyes. Then the picture of myself by the sink crying in the dishwater was just too funny. I laughed aloud, feeling totally free and totally happy. Years before, living in sickness and despair, I would never have dreamed such a feeling possible. All I had done was listen to a man speak the truth about life, and I had been given life. That evening, after Gary was asleep, I asked Bill if he'd like some fresh air. We walked in the moonlight down to the canal, as we had many times in the past 3 years. Our walk is always a special time, sharing an hour together after a full day. At the little bridge, we stopped to talk for a few moments before going back up the hill and home. "You know," I said, "I've been thinking about what Sid said last night. About facts." "What's that?" said Bill. "He mentioned facts on the phone. To me, a fact is a fact, like 2 + 2 = 4, or like a statistic. But when Sid says fact, I know his fact means something different." Bill said, "Why don't you ask him about it?" "I think I will." The next time we visited, I had my question ready. "Sid, what is a fact?" He turned from where he was gazing out the window, looked at me intently for a moment, and then sat down. "How can mind possibly comprehend a fact when you insist on living in your mind of beliefs? My friend, a fact cannot be explained, only experienced. Knowing is a fact. Seeing is a fact. Each new level of consciousness brings fact. You see, the mind of man can only understand a belief. The universal mind deals not with belief, but with facts. The mind of man cannot possibly understand a fact, for the mind of man itself is only a belief, not a fact." I sat speechless. I realized I had come with a preconceived idea about fact, a belief. Sid would answer my question, explain all about fact. I would understand completely, say, "Yeah, right," and that would be that. But his words were far beyond my intellectual understanding. I felt my ego had just been put in its place. "It's that old ego again," I chuckled. Sid smiled and went on. "It's the ego that stops us from finding what we seek. It is an image of self-importance laden with fear and insecurity. It's man's worst enemy." "I thought man was his own worst enemy," said Bill. Sid snapped his fingers. "Exactly." He rose and walked across the room towards the television set. For half an hour, we watched Archie Bunker stumble hilariously through the game of life. I had completely forgotten about facts. "Imagine," began Sid. "I was 43 years old and had never known a fact. The first time I heard a fact, it was so overwhelming I could hardly stand the beauty. The beauty that came to me with the realization of this fact was so fascinating I never slept for 3 days and 3 nights. On the third night, I was full to overflowing with love. Without warning, my chariot arrived. I was home in the land of knowledge." I was free. Indeed, it was true. All the secrets to life lie within our own conscious state. A hush followed Sid's words, a deep and peaceful silence. I had heard him speak often of his experience. Never before had he told of it so movingly. His eyes literally shone with an unutterable love. With each of us, he had shared that love. I felt honored that in my lifetime, I had known such a man. As if bewildered by such powerful emotion, my thoughts returned. Sid had mentioned a chariot, and his words had evoked a beautiful picture in my mind. A golden chariot led by gallant white stallions coming and in a moment whisking us away to the land of knowledge. How incredible! Tell us more about the chariot, Sid. The second you are ready, he said, the chariot will appear and shine so brightly with the light of knowledge that it shows the way home. Bill asked, can the chariot be recognized only by people who see facts? Yes, replied Sid. This is true. A chariot created from facts is a powerful thing. It is so full of love and understanding, the mind of man cannot comprehend it. If you ever encounter this beautiful vehicle and recognize the light of love which shines from it, you are truly lucky. The beauty is, this chariot is available at will to any living soul. Believe me, when you are ready, your chariot will appear. He spoke so convincingly and so confidently, I began to feel my chariot might arrive at any minute. I basked for a moment in this feeling of confidence. I was quite pleased with myself. However, Sid warned, if you don't recognize it and attach it with beliefs to stop its progress, then you are a fool and the price is costly. Uh-oh, my confidence wavered. I had the feeling that Sid could read my mind. Each time I thought I knew something, I'd find there was so much more to learn. I was just beginning. Ah, Sid, I just don't understand. What I have just said is quite unexplainable. Yet by listening to the unexplainable, you may experience a fact. Sid smiled. He had that look on his face. Inscrutable. A mind belief, he said, is like a pop gun without a pop. Everyone burst into laughter. You just never knew what he was going to say next. But I was still puzzled. I really wanted to get this. Is knowledge the chariot? I asked. Knowledge, replied Sid, creates the readiness to see the chariot. In actual fact, the chariot is not the knowledge, but the way. The way is non-tangible. It cannot be expressed in words. One must go beyond the words to find the experience. We talked for a few more minutes. Then Bill mentioned the light Sid had spoken of. It was interesting, for the Bible, many religious and sacred teachings also spoke of light. We asked, what kind of light does the chariot have? To all humans who see this chariot, it shines like the light of hope guiding others to heaven here on earth. There is only one golden chariot. There are many made of tinsel and threads which fall apart at the slightest touch. When you are ready, I guarantee it will appear and guide you home. Home is where the secret of thought and its relationship to life lies. All life is thought, and that, my dear friends, is a fact. Suddenly, Sid sat erect in his chair. I think we have spoken enough of the chariot. I can see your old minds are thinking again. Stop trying to figure it out and just listen. He shook his head as if to testify that it was quite useless. Just listen, he said. It'll all happen. something clicked. I recalled the day years before when we had first talked with Sid. Two lost, frightened, and confused people, we had understood nothing of the way of life he spoke of. "Just listen," he had said. "It'll all happen." His words had given us hope then, and today we had not only hope, for we gained an unconquerable faith in the future. His words had come true.